2 Timothy chapter 3, again, the first five verses. Here's what the Bible says. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Paul wrote 1 and 2 Timothy to one of his preacher boys, Timothy. Some people think that 2 Timothy was the last book of the New Testament that Paul wrote. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he's given advice to his student, one that he called to go with him on his missionary journeys and trained, and then left at different places to pastor. In chapter 3 there, he's warning Timothy that dangerous times are coming. He lists some things there in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. And if you paid attention to them, if you're looking at your Bible now like I am, and you see the different things that are listed in those verses, you would certainly say, well, this list may have described the day that Paul and Timothy were living in, but it also describes the day that we're living in. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the past 11 weeks. They've called me and say, Pastor, what do you think about all that's going on? Do you think we're living in the last days? And I always said, yes, I do. I think we are living in the last days. If you read the book of Revelation, if you read passages like this, and you compare it to what's, if you watch the news or read the newspaper, you would come to the conclusion that when Paul says that in the last days perilous times shall come, well, those times are here, and we're living in the last days. The next thing on God's calendar is the rapture of the church, where he will call his church out of this world. Then comes the tribulation. And again, I think we're closer to that time, I know we're closer to that time than we've ever been. Nobody knows the time. The angels don't. Even Jesus doesn't. Only God the Father. And one day he'll look over to Jesus, who's sitting at his right hand in the courts of heaven, and say, Son, it's time to go get the children and bring them home. The trumpet will sound. That shout will come from heaven, come up hither. Then all of us that know the Lord, the dead in Christ shall rise first, because they got 6 feet further to go than we do. And then which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the air with the Lord, and so shall we ever been with the Lord. But that day, that hour, no one knows. I mean, there have been people that have set dates, and they made predictions, and they've made fools of themselves and all those that follow. But those days are closer than they've ever been. But, I think there's some things that are blamed on the last days that shouldn't be. I've heard recently, I've read two evangelists saying, we can't have revivals anymore. We can't get Christians stirred up. We can't get God's people to live like they're supposed to. It must be the last days. Why should we try? I've heard pastors say, we can't build churches. We can't grow. The people are hard-hearted and they're hard-headed, and we can't reach them. Must be the last days. Why should we try? And then I've heard about Christians that have gotten discouraged and they quit God, they quit serving God, and they've used the excuse, well, what difference does it make? It's the last days anyway. I believe that we're living in the last days. I believe that it won't be long till the trumpet sounds. I believe it won't be longer till we hear that shout from heaven, come up hither. And if we're still alive, when that happens, we'll be raptured, taken out of this world. But my message tonight is that the last days is not the time to quit. The last days is not the time to give up. The last days is not the time to get discouraged. The last days are the time to give it all that you've got for God. We learn that from sports. If you've watched a basketball game, the score's close. It's down to the last 60 seconds. The coach doesn't call the team together and say, guys, we've only got one more minute to go. We might as well just sit back and take it easy. There's only 60 seconds left in the game. Why don't you just have an RC Cola, and why don't you just take it easy, and we'll just relax for the last minute of the game. No coach that's worth anything says that. He calls his team together and says, look, we can win this game. Just got to give it your all for the next minute. That's all I'm asking. For the next minute, give it everything you got, and we can win. We can win this game. A hockey game, same thing. Score's tied. Last 30 seconds of the game. The coach doesn't gather the team together and say, look, we're in the last half minute. Just take it easy. We'll go into overtime. I don't know of any hockey coach that says that. They all say, look, we got a half a minute. We don't want to go to overtime. Let's win it. Let's score a goal and win the game in the next 30 seconds so that we can be done. Give it all you've got. Again, I'm only asking for the next 30 seconds. Give it all you got and let's win this game. If you're running a race and you're in the final lap of that race, you don't say, hey, I've only got one more lap to go. I think I'll just take it easy. I think I'll just jog the rest of the way. No, here's what you say. Say, I only got one more lap to run. Only one more lap. I'm going to kick it up into high gear. I can rest after I get done with this lap. I'm going to kick it into high gear and give it everything I've got. Paul wrote, he said, we didn't get into this game just to play. We don't box just to box at shadows. We don't run just to run. We get in this fight, we get in this race to win. To win. To win. And many of the games in sports, just think about it, many of the games in sports are decided in the last few seconds of the game, the last inning. If you're a Tiger fan, you know that in the last inning, they lose a lot in the last inning. They could be ahead for 8.5 innings, but they lose it in the last inning. And so in the last days, it's time that we give it all that we've got. If we're going to win people to Jesus Christ, if we're going to point them to our Savior, if we're going to point them to the kingdom of God, we've got to do it now. And the fact that we're in the last days doesn't mean that we should get discouraged, doesn't mean that we should quit. It means that we need to redouble our efforts and tell as many people as we can and point as many people as we can toward Christ. Now, I have some statistics for you. And I cut these out, and I've had them in a file. To be honest with you, I don't know how long I've had them in my file. But sometimes I just go through my file of clippings that I've cut out, thinking, how can I use this in a sermon? So again, I don't know how old these numbers are, but I think the proportions are about the same. Whenever this little article was published, there were 200,000 people born every day worldwide. 200,000 people a day coming into this world. This article said, and again, they were quoting statistics from a year, and again, it was the year before this little article was published. They said, last year, Southern Baptist, all the Southern Baptist churches, won 400,000 people to Christ. 400,000 people. And so you put those two numbers together, everybody born January 1st and January 2nd, 200,000 a day, they'll be okay. 400,000 that are won. But what about the people that are born January 3rd, through December 31st. So let's expand our population, because Southern Baptists aren't the only people that preach the gospel. Let's say there's 10 groups, 10 different church groups that do the same thing. They win 400,000 people a year to Christ. So if we had 10 groups, 400,000 people, that, and again, at 200,000 born a day, that would take us through January 20th. January 20th. So what about those people that were born January 21st through December 31st? I mean, if we're going to quit, if we're going to relax because this is the last days, what about the almost 7 million people that are born after January 20th that are going to come into this world? Again, I'm just using numbers. I know it doesn't work out this way. But what about them? What about them? What about the every single person that's born needs to hear about Jesus? Every single person that born needs to be pointed toward the kingdom of God. So, it's the final inning. It's the last few seconds of the game. It's the final lap. What do we do? I'll mention four things tonight. Four things. Number one, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In verse 1, it says seeing. In verse 2, it says looking. As I look toward heaven, as you look toward heaven, we see the finish line. We see a checkered flag. And we see the witnesses that are gathered in the grandstand, I think, and again, we can't hear them in heaven, but I think they're cheering Christians on. I think they're looking at the race that we're running, the fight that we're fighting, and people like Paul and Peter and James and John, the other disciples, and preachers like Timothy and Titus, I think they're saying, come on, Christians, give it all you got. There's not much time left. Point people to the kingdom of heaven. I think we all have relatives in heaven that sit in the grandstands along with the saints that we read about in this book. Grandmothers and aunts and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and pastors and Sunday school teachers that have invested part of their life in us. And I think they're cheering us on just like the saints from the Bible are. They're saying, come on, give it all you got. We're living in the last days. There's not much time left. Point people toward the kingdom of God. And so we look and we see the finish line. We look and we can see by faith the great clouds of witnesses. But we look and the one that we see the most. Again, it's by faith. But the one that we see the most is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. Yeah, we see all the other witnesses that are gathered there, but they should be in our peripheral vision. We ought to have our eyes focused on Christ. The author, he's the author of our faith because he went to the cross to die for our sins. None of us would be Christians without the author of our faith. None of us would be Christians. We wouldn't be in this fight. We wouldn't be in this race. We wouldn't be headed toward heaven without Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins. And so he's the author of our faith, but he's also the finisher. As we look to him, and again, he says, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to take over where I left off. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the endurance. He'll give you what you need to carry on until I call you home. And so we look at Jesus. And we keep looking at Jesus. Because when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we get in trouble. Just like Peter did. Remember that night during the storm? They were afraid. They thought they were going to shipwreck. And they looked out, and they thought what they saw was a ghost walking toward the ship. And they heard a voice. They heard their master say. They heard Jesus say, it is I. Be not afraid. And old Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, let me come unto you. Let me get out of this boat and come to where you are. And Jesus said, come on. Come. Sometimes I wonder if Peter really thought about what he was asking for. Sometimes we need to be careful what we pray for, because God will give us exactly what we pray for. And we might be praying for something that we should not be praying for. But Jesus said, come on, Peter. You want to come? Come on. He got out of that boat. Now, we criticize him, because I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. As long as he was looking at Jesus, he stayed on top. The waves were billowing. The wind was blowing. I mean, it was a terrible storm. But as long as Peter kept his eye on Jesus, he stayed on top. But then he started to notice the circumstances. I mean, I'm sure the waves were crashing on his legs. I'm sure he felt the wind blowing through his hair. And he began to look around. And he says, what am I doing out here? I can't walk on water. And what happened? When he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. Now, sometimes we criticize him. Well, what about the other 11 guys in the boat that never even got out? I think Peter had great faith. He walked on water for a while. Those other disciples, I'm sure, oh, what is this crazy Peter? I mean, I'm sure they talked, this crazy Peter, look at what he's doing now. But he took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink. When we take our eyes off Christ, and we put them on the things that are going on in this world, and you've heard me say this before, we should be looking at the things of the world through Christ, not Christ through the things of the world. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. If it weren't for him, the sun wouldn't shine. If it weren't for him, the stars wouldn't twinkle. If it wasn't for him, the rivers wouldn't flow. If it wasn't for him, nothing in this universe would continue. So we need to keep looking at him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Number two, lay aside the weights and the sins which so easily beset us. We all know what sin is. Weights are things that aren't bad in themselves, but are things that are going to slow us down in serving God. Let's go back to the sports metaphor. Last 30 seconds of the game. The basketball coach doesn't say to the team, hey, guys, I know you're tired, I know you're hungry, and I know you're thirsty. We only got 30 seconds to play. I'll take a timeout, and you can all have a pizza and a cup of Pepsi Cola, and then we'll finish the game. No, coach doesn't do that. What's wrong with pizza? What's wrong with Pepsi Cola? Well, there's nothing wrong with pizza or nothing wrong with Pepsi Cola, but you don't eat it the last 30 seconds of a basketball game. I mean, you want your players to run. You want them to jump. You want them to give it all they got. And if they're weighed down with pizza and Pepsi Cola, they're not going to be able to do that as good as if they didn't have it. The last 30 seconds of a hockey game, the coach is not going to say, hey, timeout. We're all going to have a moon pie. What's wrong with moon pies, preacher? There's nothing wrong with moon pies. I like moon pies. How many of you like moon pies? Amen. Amen. You don't even know what they are, do you? But the coach doesn't do that. Again, he wants his team to give it all they got. He doesn't want them to be slowed down by moon pies. The baseball manager is going to say, hey, look, we're in the ninth inning. I know you guys are hungry. I've ordered Big Macs for everybody. Let's have a Big Mac, and then we'll finish the game. What's wrong with Big Macs? There's nothing wrong with Big Macs. But you're not going to eat it when you got one more inning of baseball to play. You're not going to eat or drink anything when you only got 30 seconds that you're trying to give it your all. You're going to lay aside the weights and the sins, and we're going to run this race to the best of our ability. Number three, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to lay aside the weights and the sins. We need to stay wired to heaven. We need to pray without ceasing. All the time, stay connected to heaven. When I worked for General Motors, the division that I worked for sponsored race cars. It was under the Goodrem shield for a while and then GM parts. And every once in a while, they would bring the owner of the race car and a driver and some from the pit crew, and they would come in and talk to us. I mean, the division spent a lot of money sponsoring their cars. And so I remember this one meeting we had in the conference room. They were showing us, this was on a Tuesday, and they were showing us movies from Sunday's race. And I don't know why, they always raced on Sunday. I mean, but anyhow. And so we're watching this, the last lap of the race. And over, they had a picture in the car that you could see the driver's face. And then they had a picture of his car going around the last lap. And so this guy is driving 200 miles an hour. And he's cutting this way and cutting this way and cutting this way. And you look at his face, and he never looks over here and he never looks over here. He's looking straight ahead. And so after they got through, they asked for questions. And I said, I need to ask a question. You're going 200 miles an hour. The last lap of the race, you're cutting this way, you're cutting this way, you're cutting this way. And yet, as I look at your face, you never looked over here, you never looked over there. Your eyes are straight ahead. How did you know when to cut? How did you know when to go to the left? How did you know when you need to go to the right? And the driver stood up and he said, well, we have earphones. And there's a guy sitting up on the top of the grandstands with binoculars looking at where I am. And when he tells me, cut left, I don't hesitate. I don't look. I don't have time to look. I cut left. When he tells me to cut right, I don't have time to look to my right. I got to keep my eyes straight ahead so I don't run in. I just cut right. Now, that's the same thing that God will do to us if we stay wired to him. We need to take our instructions from him. We don't need to see where we're going. If we saw where we were going, we might not go there. But if we just listen to God and say, hey, look, I want you to go here. I got a person I want you to talk to. They need to hear about Jesus. And another time he says, I want you to go here because I got another person that needs to hear about Jesus. And we would run the final lap of this race. We would play the final 30 seconds or the last minute of this game a whole lot better if we just listened to our coach, if we'd listen to our master, if we wouldn't worry about the circumstances that we were in. When he says to go, if we just go. If he says to go to the right, we go right. If he says we go to the left, we go left. We need to stay connected to God. And then number four, we need to run. To run. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run, run, run with patience the race that is set before us. There's always going to be somebody in our lives, family, friends, some acquaintances, that will say, hey, you need to slow down. You need not to get so excited. We're living in the last days. What difference is it going to make anyway? You're going to exhaust yourself. You're going to burn out. Look, it is the last days. It is. The Word of God is going to be fulfilled to every detail that's in it. And the text that we read from 2 Timothy describe the last days that we're living in. It is the time to run. It is the time to pray. It is the time to lay aside the weights and the sins, and it is the time to keep our eyes on Jesus. It's the last inning. It's the last minute. It's the last period. It's the last quarter, however you want to say it. If we're going to do anything for God, we need to do it now because Jesus is coming soon. And so let's just do what this verse says. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's lay aside the weights and the sins. Let's keep connected to heaven, and let's run for all we've got. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you that we can come together in your house. Thank you that we can open your word. Thank you that we can study it together. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would use your word to burn it deep into our hearts, to encourage us to keep on keeping on, to give it all that we have to serve you in these days. Father, I pray if there is somebody here tonight, I don't think there is as I look around, but if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, help them to see that they're a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's a punishment for that sin, a penalty. The wages of sin is death, separation from you. But Father, help them to also know that you love them. You love them. And you sent Jesus to pay for their sins, and he did that on Calvary's cross. He took all of our sins. He paid for every single one of them. And because he did, you can offer us a gift, the gift of life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I pray if there's even just one person here tonight that hasn't taken that gift, that they'll do it right now. They'll simply pray, Father, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty associated with sin, but I believe that Jesus loves me and that he died to pay for my sin. And right now I'm asking him to save me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if there's one here that would say, Pastor, that's me. I need to pray that prayer. Would you just slip your hand up? Anybody? Anybody? I'm going to ask Carol to play just a couple verses of an invitation song. I won't have you stand, won't have you to sing. Just ask you to pray and say, Lord, if there's something that I'm not doing that I need to do, help me to do it. Help me to keep on keeping on. Help me to give it my best.